Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo. What up? What's going on? You're here live on the Go Long Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. You can catch boxing articles and more on DCHTonSports.com. That is the CHTonSports.com. And for the Boxing Source, you can follow us on social media. The Boxing Source on Facebook, Twitter, at Boxing Source, Instagram, at The Boxing Source. And you can also find us on Google Plus. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We pretty much have a – we're going to see if we could do this in 1 hour. It really, you know, is a couple of topics that I wanted to, you know, go through in this particular podcast. I know that we've, you know, had a couple of weeks hiatus on this particular channel on Blog Talk Radio, but I just wanted to go through a few things that had went through over the course of the weekend, and then just have like a couple of topics to speak about. So that's what we're going to be getting into here in this particular podcast. So this is something that, you know, I wanted to basically go through and have like a discussion that has been really, I'd say, bothering a few people here and there over the course of the past few weeks. So that's something that, you know, I wanted to get into. But, you know, for now, we have, you know, what happened over the course of the weekend as you had a world championship fight that was on ESPN last night. You had the WBO super middleweight championship on the line as you had Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez basically in action defending his title against Romer Alexis Angulo. And this was the main event that was on ESPN last night. You had, of course, Zurdo Ramirez there undefeated at 37-0 going up against another undefeated guy in Alexis Angulo, or Romer Alexis Angulo, so you wouldn't be confused with, like, that other boxer that, you know, went up against Arislandi Lara and a couple of other guys over in the 154-pound division. But, you know, here with Zerto Ramirez having his fourth defense of that WBO Super Middleweight Championship, going up against, you know, Alexis Angulo. And, I mean, to me, that fight there looked like it was a pretty, you know, had like a couple of good things as far as, like, action is concerned. So my thing is that, you know, with that, you had like a couple of times where, you know, the defending champion, Zerto Ramirez, had his little moments, but also there were other times where he basically got caught. There was, you know, a few things there that we kind of saw with Zerto Ramirez. He was able to, you know, get through this particular fight and get the unanimous decision win over Romer Alexis Angulo to defend that WBO Super Middleweight Championship. But it looked like we saw a lot of, you know, openings there from Zerto Ramirez. And right now we got live area code 813 on the line. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Terrell calling in from Tampa. What's going on, James?
Hey, Brother Terrell, what's good with you?
Everything good, man. Just once again, just I'm probably a little behind on some recent news, but definitely once again able just to want to tune in and just draw from this great mind that's hosting this broadcast. I mean, this guy that hosts this broadcast, he's a boxing historian. He knows his facts. He knows details, promoters, names, dates, things like that. And that's one of the biggest reasons on why I tune in weekly to this boxing podcast.
Hey, no doubt. Now, I'm kind of, you know, guessing that, you know, your attention got thrown off a little bit recently due to some news in another sport that deals with a big city and a big name in a big city there. I got that news too, and, you know, that guy is basically my favorite player in the NBA right now. But we're here talking about boxing, and we had, you know, Zerto Ramirez going up against Romer Alexis Angulo defending his WBO super middleweight title. And I'm not sure if you're able to catch some highlights there on ESPN, but you had Zerto Ramirez get the unanimous decision victory to keep that WBO super middleweight title. So what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and like you just expressed, I didn't get to take that in, but just real quickly, I'm sitting here looking at the rankings for super middleweight. Like I said, we got Ramirez at the champ at in the WBO. You got James Segal out there, George Groves, David Benavidez, and then WBC. I mean, as much as I always say super middle, sometimes it's not even talked about per se. I mean, we know about 154, we know about 160, heavyweight, of course, 147, probably the hottest division in boxing probably for the last 10 years at least. But super middle really doesn't get a whole lot of airplay as far as names and stuff like that. I mean, for one, you don't have a sold-out star in that division, but nevertheless, you do have good fights there, you know. And we certainly look for some more good fights coming forth from this division going forward, you know.
Yeah, so what was that?
You
were continuing?
No, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing was, you know, here with what's been going on with, you know, like you were saying, with the multiple divisions there, super middleweight, middleweight, light middleweight, you have, like, a lot of these guys that, you know, are competing for these belts, and particularly when in the super middleweight division, you've had, of course, the tournament there, the World Boxing Super Series. Hopefully they're going to have a, you know, final of that World Boxing Super Series here real soon, involving George Groves. But, you know, with Zerto Ramirez and what I saw there against Romer Alexis Angulo is that, he has like a lot of openings there on defense. And Gulo, you know, caught him a good few times out there, you know, in the rings, particularly I think it was like in the fourth or fifth round. He was able to, you know, chin check Zerto Ramirez. But, you know, Ramirez was able to, you know, go through that and, you know, basically get through that to get the unanimous decision. But, you know, immediately after the fight, I mean, I thought about, you know, how he would fare against, you know, other super middleweight contenders out there. I mean, you have, like I said, you have George Groves that is out there. You have Chris Eubank Jr. That is out there that, you know, are top contenders within that super middleweight division. And, you know, Zerto Ramirez there has that WBO belt and has held that WBO belt for a while now. But, you know, he's had a couple of, you know, fights against Jesse Hart, which was a pretty good fight. And, of course, here in this latest one against Angulo was like a pretty good little scrap. But, you know, going up against the, you know, likes of David Benavidez, which I really don't think he would, you know, fare too well against Benavidez, because Benavidez is somebody that, you know, can throw a lot of punches, number one, and number two, can have, you know, a little bit of power in a couple of those punches that he has. So I would say that he Ramirez needs to stay away from guys like Benavidez or even Jose Uzcategui, who may eventually fight James DeGale for that IBF version of the super middleweight championship. And he may have to, or Bob Arum may have to, you know, do something with him to kind of, you know, keep these top contenders away from him there, so to speak.
Yeah, just like I said, looking at some of these highlights right now, real quick, of the fight last night with Ramirez. Good size, but, you know, not necessarily Tony's 30. Just, and once again, look, he definitely got hurt himself a couple of times within that fight by Angulo. So, but like I said, when you compare him against the other champions within that division, that's when your team wants to come into play and do some good matchmaking, because you definitely don't want to get matched against an opponent that is going to embarrass you. And just a small example, when we saw Billy Joe Saunders against David Lemieux last year, just the average fan would look at that, oh, this guy Lemieux, he's a puncher. He's going to punch right through Saunders. But that didn't happen at all. That didn't happen at all. And you want to, and post-fight from that point, the Lemieux team was probably forced to look at, wow, this was probably not a good matchup for us, you know. And not that you want to avoid fighters, you know, within your division, but sometimes, like we know, styles may quit, and some fights probably shouldn't take, you know, until you're at that brim where you have to take that fight. But like I said, with Ramirez, if his team is smart, they probably don't want to match him up with all the top guys within that division at this time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's had, like, you know, four defenses of that, you know, WBO for middleweight championship. And, you know, him already, you know, defending against the top-ranked contender in Jesse Hart, and then, you know, having another voluntary defense after that. I think, you know, they're probably going to go the safe route as far as, you know, who he's going to be fighting next there as the WBO super middleweight champion. I mean, we still have the World Boxing Super Series final that needs to be completed there at super middleweight to kind of like figure out who the top guy in super middleweight will be. But, you know, other than that, what we have is, you know, a good, like I was saying before, a good few contenders that are out there in the super middleweight division that could, you know, state their claim as the best guy at 168 pounds. I mean, you have, like I said, Uzcategui out there, James DeGale, George Groves, Tyron Zuge, you know, overseas, David Benavidez, who's probably, you know, one of the most exciting fighters there in the super middleweight division. Of course, you have Chris Eubank Jr., Anthony Durrell that's still out there. and Caleb Plant also, who is undefeated, that, you know, had a couple of, you know, good fights, had a step-up fight recently, you know, there where he was able to get a, you know, good win. But we're going to see what his next fight is going to be, because it's going to be more of a step-up fight now that kind of like really tests his actual status there in the super middleweight division, because, you know, he could, you know, potentially be, you know, one of the top guys in super middleweight, but he's kind of like had a, you know, step-by-step path towards where he is right now. So that's something there that, you know, has to be sorted out within the super middleweight division there with Gilberto Ramirez as a champ, George Groves as a champ, you know, James Chunky DeGale as a champ, and David Benavidez as a champ. So I'm not sure if they're going to have a unification fight anytime soon like they've had with, you know, the 154-pound division there with, you know, Jared Hurd being able to defeat Irislani Lara. And then, you know, hopefully soon before the end of this year, they're going to have Jared Hurd against Jermell Charlo for that WBC, WBA, and IBF version of the 154-pound titles. But, I mean, at least, you know, we kind of see who the top four or five guys are in that super middleweight division. And hopefully, you know, that will be able to, you know, sort itself out there in the super middleweight division. I just had a little background noise there. Other than that, I think, you know, as part of the undercard, you had a notable fighter there, Mike Alvarado, you know, former guy that, you know, contended for a world title, never really, you know, won a world title, was there going up against Martin Angel Martinez. Martinez was 18-14-1, while, you know, Alvarado came in there at like 38. You know, I think people kind of like expected Alvarado to, you know, really beat this Martinez guy. He was able to do so, having the fight stopped within round 9. So Alvarado was able to move to 39-4. And I think they had, like, as part of the co-feature, Alex Cicedo going up against Leonardo Zabavigna there. At the super lightweight division, and Cicedo was able to get the TKO win over Zabavigna to stay undefeated at 28-0, and I think that one was a fairly notable fight because they were talking about it during the main event for, you know, people to see if, you know, they could catch a replay or if it's on ESPN Plus or something like that. So that's something to watch out for. And I mean, that, you know, that pretty much like covers what went down over the course of this past weekend there in the sport of boxing. You know, I haven't, you know, really been on over the past couple of weeks. So there was, you know, a few things that, you know, happened over the past 2 weeks or so. You did have, you know, one of the women's championships on the line, the middleweight title, female middleweight title, IBF, and the WBA middleweight title on the line, as you had, you know, Clarissa Shields going up against Hannah Gabriels. Clarissa Shields, of course, the two-time Olympic gold medalist there, going up against Hannah Gabriels, who's, you know, coming from Costa Rica, had the, you know, record of 18-1-1. But, you know, it was a good little scrap between those two. I think that, you know, this is probably one of the first fights that, you know, people felt that Clarissa Shields may have had like a little test there. But she was able to, you know, pull off the win over 10 rounds to get those two middleweight belts that are out there and kind of like, you know, stamp her name as, you know, the, if not the best, and one of the best boxers out there for you know, the, you know, in all the boxing there for females. I mean, of course, she had that unified champion there, Katie Taylor, that won, you know, basically unified on April 28th over in the Barclays Center. You know, have, you know, a few, you know, other ladies that are out there that, you know, have won, you know, titles. You have, like, a long, you know, long-standing champion, pretty much like an undisputed champion out there, as you have Cecilia Brakes, who's there at welterweight, that, you know, recently defended all of those titles against Kylie Reyes on May 5th. So you have all of these females there, so you could probably gauge who would be like the best quote unquote pound for pound boxer out there for females, and I think that, you know, Clarissa Shields kind of like put a name out there as probably one of the best, if not the best pound for pound fighters out there in the sport. Brother Terrell, were you able to like catch any highlights of that fight between Clarissa Shields and Hannah Gabriels?
Yeah, I did catch some highlights of that, and as we already know, Shields got a nice right hand to Shields, and got a knockdown, which is definitely unexpected. And even just reading about post fight, both fighters stated that wow, she was really strong, which I thought was pretty funny. But like I said, Clarissa Shields, 5 fights into her pro career, 2-time gold medalist, definitely looks to, like I said, put her name out there as the best of woman fighter out there right now. I mean, as interesting as this fight was between Gabriels and Shields, I think we are looking forward to this matchup, potential matchup between her and Christina Hammer. As we know,
yeah,
post fight from the Gabriels Shields fight, there was a confrontation within the ring. And what's funny, only in boxing, it doesn't matter, men or women, only in boxing where you see these type of confrontations and showdowns like this. I mean, you think about all the major sports, I mean, football, there's all kind of trash talking between the lines, basketball, trash talking in a game, and nobody cares that LeBron's going to Los Angeles. Nobody cares about that, really. Just to throw that in. But not really with boxing. I mean, just because Shields just totally ripped away from her interview and just got right in the Hammer's face, and just it was just wow, it was a bit of a spectacle. And just taking a quick time off from that fight, think back if Wilder would have went over to England for the and actually attended the Parker Joshua fight, and we had a similar confrontation. I think that would have propelled us even quicker to their matchup. But I know we'll come back to that, you know. But like I said, I think we're all looking forward, like I said, to Shields and Hammer. That certainly looks to be a great fight. Shields is young, but she's talented, works hard, all that stuff like that, and all those things are coming into fruition for her right now, into her pro career. So, I mean, you look back a little bit over the. Over the history of boxing, I mean, the main name that you look at, that you consider, was Leila Ali. She definitely set a standard for boxing, and there's been other people as well, but as far as someone that took their name, and of course we know her last name, Ali, where she got that from, but she definitely made herself a national brand from that. So, like I said, Shields 5 fights in, can she do the same? I mean, she certainly has done a lot with herself, coming from meager backgrounds, from Flint, Michigan, things like that. So we can hopefully continue to see her rise and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, that potential fight between Shields and Hammer, that is going to be very big there for, you know, for the sport of women's boxing. Because that'll be I'd say it would be the biggest fight for them in general, to see who would be the quote-unquote star for women's boxing and the spokesperson for women's boxing. there for the winner there. So, I mean, I think that, you know, with Clarissa Shields, she could be that person or that spokesperson if she isn't already. I mean, come on, she's already been, you know, two-time Olympic gold medalist, already been, you know, world champion within just, you know, six fights or so. So, I mean, that is, you know, something that people kind of like look out for. I mean, she's, you know, made a name, you know, within boxing circles, but it's now time to kind of like expand that type of market there. So, I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, looking forward to that particular fight and to see what is basically going on there and to see, you know, how that basic fight will be built up. Let's see. I think we got another caller in here trying to get him on. Area code 205, what's going on with you?
Hey, what's going on, James? It's Mike Brady. Hey, Terrell, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike. What's good?
Not much, man. I heard y'all talking about Clarissa Shields. I know I hadn't been on in a while, so I'm just, you know, coming to participate.
Well, I'll tell you this. You ain't been the only one that hadn't been on in a while, so it's not like you really missed much on the podcast there. But I just wanted to, you know, go back to cover, you know, a couple of events that did happen over the past couple of weeks. And the Clarissa Shields fight that, you know, she just had there where she was fighting for the Unified Middleweight Championships, and she was able to get a 10-round decision win to stay undefeated and go to 6-0 there. In that, you know, going into the near future, there's like another big fight for her coming up that, you know, people will be looking out for, and that could kind of define her as, you know, the top female lady out there. Of course, you have Cecilia Breakus as the Unified champion at welterweight, and then basically the undisputed champion at welterweight there. And of course, recently Katie Taylor unified the belts in her division, and you have like Eddie Hearn trying to push her, you know, coming from England, being, you know, in the Olympics in England there, so that, you know, she kind of like has a lot of popularity behind her too. But with Clarissa Shields, two-time Olympic gold medalist, you know, people would think that she would be the number one person as far as, like, you know, females are concerned in the sport of boxing, if it's not Cecilia Breakus, who's, you know, already been there in as a professional, you know, for more years than Clarissa Shields has been and has, you know, won all of the titles there in her weight class. So that's what I pretty much, you know, was talking about there with Clarissa Shields.
Okay, yeah, so I saw the fight. I mean, I think the right decision happened. She should have won the fight. At the same time, I'm pretty sure it's easy to see that she gets hit too much. And if she faces someone who, to me, is a slick boxer who can match speed with her and or has power and, like, you know, similar speed. Because, I mean, she's pretty fast. You could tell she throw the combinations fast.
Yeah.
But she still got hit too much. Just hit way too much for my liking. And, you know, he got dropped. I feel like it was a balance shot in the first round. But, you know, like, you can't take all them hits and then think that you're going to keep fighting at a supreme level. So she just got to shore up on her defense. And I haven't seen Christina Hammer fight before, so I don't even know her style. But, yeah, if she shore up on her defense and probably got to lose her will to like, want to scrap so much, because that's probably what's doing it, that she want to, like, you could tell she want to fight. Like, that's that young, bullish mentality that she got to let that go, because otherwise somebody going to clip her, and then she ain't going to be able to recover in enough time.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah, she's definitely a talented fighter.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of, like, saw that with Cecilia Breakus in her last fight on May 5th. When she fought Kylie Rae, she kind of like got a little bit too overconfident with Kylie Rae, and, you know, she got caught and was, you know, basically knocked down in that sense. So, you know, that's something there where you kind of like would possibly see that with, you know, Clarissa Shields
So that's something, you know, to basically look out for in her next fight against Christina Hammer, where maybe Hammer could, you know, see what she saw in Shields' fight against Hannah Gabriels and kind of like work on a couple of those weaknesses that were there in reference to that. We are like 30 minutes in to the podcast of the Boxing Source Radio Show. For those that want to call in, and you call in at 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. One thing before I get into the, you know, next main topic for this podcast, I just wanted to go through one other thing that happened a couple of weeks ago, and that was the IBF welterweight title defense of Errol Spence Jr., as he was able to defend his title against, at the time, the highest ranked guy, or the second, basically the second highest ranked guy, and that was Carlos Ocampo. He wanted to have that title defense, you know, closer to, you know, where he's, you know, staying at over in the Dallas, Texas area. So it was basically a, you know, few minute drive up north for him going up against Carlos Ocampo. Ocampo was there undefeated, but, I mean, it was, you know, guys that he fought in Mexico, and a lot of those guys, you know, unless if you were there in Mexico, you really didn't know much about it. And so it was a, you know, easy fight for Errol Spence. First round knockout there for him to, you know, stay undefeated and keep that IBF welterweight championship. And, you know, he's, you know, looking for big fights out there. And, you know, one of the things he was mentioning was, you know, seeing if he could get a unification fight with the winner of Danny Garcia against Sean Porter, who will be fighting for the vacant WBC welterweight championship. That Garcia-Porter matchup is going to be a good little scrap. And, you know, whoever wins that, you know, going up against Errol Spence will be another very good matchup there. So, you know, I wanted to get that, you know, out of the way and, you know, get any thoughts about Errol Spence Jr. and what he wants to do in the welterweight division.
Yeah, I'll go real quick. Just real quick, even with the Spence Ocampo fight, we all know that went one round. So there's not a whole lot to take from that. But I think the biggest story of that fight was actually the numbers that he did locally for himself. I mean, and obviously we expect Spence to keep winning and pretty much in an emphatic fashion. And basically what I'm getting at, if this guy can still steadily build the numbers and still keep winning like he's been doing, we're probably going to be looking at one of the major players within. I mean, he's already a major player. But when you start to build your numbers locally and then from that point nationally and everything, you're gonna make yourself into the next star within boxing. I mean, just look back at the perfect example, Mayweather, great name, great pedigree, things like that. But at the same time, he put in the work in the ring and got those rings wins and built himself outside the ring as well into a national mogul that he is today and everything. So Spence, he speaks well for himself. He has some charisma, and that's going to increase over time. But going forward, like I said, numbers, wins, styles, that look, you know, things like that, that's what's going to make you the brand. And he certainly looks the part inside the ring, and the rest of the things is definitely following with him right now and building as well.
Sure. Got anything on it, Mike Grady?
I would resonate Terrell's sentiments in that the local numbers, and I think that the fact that he has Jerry Jones behind him too, that is, you know, that's huge in terms of having that stadium. And, you know, shit, filling up that stadium probably ain't necessarily easy. I don't know how many seats they probably had open in there, but I'm sure it has, like, in the multiple thousands of seats, right, in Jerry World. And, you know, let's say he's – oh, it's a practice facility. Gotcha. Never mind.
Yeah, that's where they're at. Mm-hmm.
So let's say he does continue getting bigger, and then they move it.
Yeah.
And they move it over to the, you know, to the bigger, the real facility. Then you're talking, you know, big stuff, but he's definitely started the conversation for that. And, I mean, I don't see the other welterweights fighting him. I think Terrell is right in that he is in the thick of it. And, I mean, now is the time people have to fight each other. Like, I mean, Keith Thurman definitely won't fight him because, you know, he has the injury stuff and he has to get back in the swing of things. But, I mean, the winner of the other two, one of those two guys should fight him. And maybe the loser fights Keith Thurman after he gets his you know, back in the swing of things fight in there. And then,
yeah.
But, yeah, I don't see Spence, like, I don't see many people trying to get in there with Spence. It's going to be people like, who's an up-and-comer who lost? Like, they're going to probably try to throw Devin Alexander or somebody in there.
Right.
Which
but,
I wouldn't
know,
take this fight if I was Devin Alexander.
We're supposed to have Devin Alexander against Andre Berto coming up. So I think, you know, that's, you know, if Alexander gets through that, then he may get that shot, you know, against against Errol Spence. But, you know, other than that, I mean, you know, we'll kind of like see because that Alexander Berto fight isn't until, you know, July 28th. So, you know, maybe it would happen by the end of the year. You see? So,
yeah. If I was them, I wouldn't take the Spence fight. Like, that's the very fight that ends their career. Like, not trying to be funny about it. Like, you know, they're kind of toward the end of their, both of them are at the end of their career anyway. They should only really be fighting that type of fight that they're in now. That's really the only type of fights that they should be having. Like, okay, Berto, maybe against Garcia, that could work. Berto against Sean Porter, I don't see that going well for him. Who else? Berto and Keith Thurman, I don't think they would fight.
Yeah, I mean,
And who else?
Yeah, like Berto already lost to Sean Porter, and so did Alexander, actually.
Oh, dang, they did fight.
Yep.
Oh, the headbutts. Ah, the headbutts. I remember now. Gotcha. But, yeah, so Berto and Danny Garcia then. But I just, like, I think, like, I get it. Al Haymon want to put the best fighters together. But as far as their career go, if they want to extend it out a few more years, just stay away from Spence. You know, fight some of the other guys. Fight Danny Garcia. Yeah. That's their – they probably won't win. They will not win the fight, but that's their best shot at a top guy. Maybe a hurt Keith Thurman. We don't know how he's going to respond, but a hurt Keith Thurman or a Garcia. But Keith Thurman before the injury, then that wouldn't go well for either one of them.
True. So that's something, you know, kind of like to look out for with some of these, you know, other welterweight contenders that are there. So, but like y'all are saying, I mean, they really want to basically avoid Errol Spence if they want to, you know, extend their career. So that's, you know, that's something there where you got to, like, see what they're going to have for Errol Spence. And like he was saying, he is going to look for the biggest fights available there. I mean, he's already, you know, defended his IBF title. I'm not sure if, I mean, maybe he'll fight your Dennis Ugas, which would be a very tough fight. I think it would be a very tough fight for Errol Spence. But, you know, it's something that hasn't really been mentioned up to this point with Ugas being, I think Ugas is undefeated or basically has one loss. And is a guy that has length and power, which could, you know, be a little deterrent for Errol Spence Jr. So we haven't necessarily, you know, heard Spence really talk about fighting Yordanis Ugas, but that would be a very good fight if that fight came to fruition. You know, still here live on the Boxing Source Radio Show podcast. Our number to dial in is 347 347-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Real quick, just wanted to get in this little news. We have, like, the World Boxing Super Series. We have, like, you know, a second season of the World Boxing Super Series that's going to jump off. And the two divisions will be the bantamweight division and the super lightweight division. And in the bantamweight division, you're going to have participants like Ryan Burnett, Emmanuel Rodriguez, and Zelani Tete as part of that bantamweight division. And in super lightweight, the confirmed participants will be Curl Relic, Anthony Yidget, Ivan Baranchek, and Josh Taylor. So, I mean, they're kind of like looking to have these two divisions really have their best guys in there for this particular tournament when it comes up. So I'm going to be looking forward to who the other participants will be there at bantamweight and at super lightweight. So that's going to be something to, you know, basically look forward to. But just wanted to get into the other main topic of this weekend, and yeah, it's going to be about the ongoing saga for the supposed undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. We've had a recent snag in a potential fight between unified heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua and the WBC champion Deontay Wilder. Apparently, a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, Eddie Hearn offered a contract to Deontay Wilder where Deontay Wilder would have had $15 million. And verbally, Deontay Wilder accepted that offer of a $15 million purse. Then Eddie Hearn made up the contract, sent over the contract to Deontay Wilder's team, and, you know, awaited a response from Deontay Wilder's team. Didn't necessarily get a response from him. He was waiting a few days, no response. And then a couple of days later, you had the manager of Deontay Wilder, Shelley Finkel, say that, you know, there was a couple of things that they wanted to get questions about, and they wanted to, you know, get the answers to those questions. And, you know, there was, you know, send a response a little bit later about those two points. And apparently, you know, it lasted a couple more days for those points to, you know, go through. And, you know, by this past Wednesday, we eventually found out that it was, you know, two conflicts. One was the date and the location of the venue for the fight. And the second one was the rematch clause for Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua if Deontay Wilder won that potential fight. And now, you know, over to Friday, we get to Friday, and Deontay Wilder apparently rejected the original offer of $15 million. And then Eddie Hearn made a second offer on top of that where he said that he would offer Deontay Wilder $5 million to fight just about anybody else he wanted to fight. And then on top of that, still have that $15 million offer to fight Anthony Joshua. And even with that offer that came through, that was also rejected. And now it seems like what has been the demand now from Deontay Wilder's side, or Deontay Wilder, is that for this fight between him and Anthony Joshua, it has to be a 50-50 split or he won't accept it. And so that right now is where we are currently at as far as, like, this whole thing between Wilder and Joshua. And, I mean, from, you know, what has basically happened there, it just seems like that fight seems like it's not going to happen at least according to one of the callers that are on here, it just seems like it's never going to happen. First, I want to get, you know, Terrell's side to what has been going on over the past week or week and a half.
Yeah, I tell you what, the first thing I'm point out to, I'm glad you made mention of the change within the group. We look back at the prospect of a fight between Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev, and during that time frame, there's a tremendous amount of back and forth, trash talking on both sides, similar to what we see right here, right now between Joshua and Wilder, not on this level that we see everything, but nevertheless, a lot of anticipation with fans, wanting those two guys to fight, to unify, things like that. And here you are, you fast forward here a couple years later from all that, right, from that back and forth, once again between Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev. And that fight has never happened. It never happened. And at this point now, Kovalev has lost the war twice. Stevenson just came up a good victory over Badu Jack, things like that. And both sides have moved on from this point, right? So what about the prospect of a fight between Stevenson and Kovalev now? You know what? No one even talks about those two names together now. No one. And it's almost amazing because those are definitely two of the biggest names within their division. So now you flip it over down to Wilder Joshua, and you see all this rhetoric and back and forth and silliness, the cussing out, the Twitter rants, videos and stuff like that, side parties with Fury, Briggs, whoever else you want to name, Hearn, Al Heyman, Shelly Finkel, dancing, whatever. It's so much stuff that's holding this fight back, and it's a shame. And the thing about it, if this fight doesn't happen, wow. As a true lover of the sport of boxing, wow, it would really leave a bad taste in my mouth for this fight to not happen. So I'm gonna let you guys read that check all the back and forth, the contracts, the verbal agreements, all that stuff like that. But if this fight doesn't happen, it's a shame. It's really a shame for the sport of boxing that these two people who are virtually at the center of the sport and not be able to get together and work it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something where you have, like, the two, of course, they're the two top guys in the heavyweight division, and it's probably going to be, if not, you know, other than Golovkin-Canelo, it's going to be the biggest fight in the sport of boxing, and if they're not able to put it together and make it happen, then, you know, it's basically going to be a tarnish to the sport, particularly, you know, when, you know, you had so much momentum going into the beginning of this year where you had, like, a lot of big fights that have taken place there within that first half of the year. And, you know, a couple of those things are continuing with, you know, you have Robert Easter Jr. going up against Mikey Garcia. That's going to be, you know, at the end of July. There, that's going to be the main event, too, where, you know, you had the aforementioned Devin Alexander-Andre Berto fight. So some of these fights that, you know, people are requesting are starting to happen now, but they want, you know, the ultimate to happen because here we are. We're very close to having an undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, and it's only one fight that needs to take place in order for that to happen. And it's not happening. So it's like it has like a lot of people within the boxing world upset about it. And a lot of finger pointing has been going back and forth, whether it's on social media or it's through, you know, videos or anything like that. And so that's something that, you know, we're going to see here over the next few weeks or so. Mike, what do you got to say on it?
I don't really have any comment about it. I think maybe y'all not tired of it, but I'm kind of tired of the back and forth it appears that there are always excuses, whether you say it's one side or the other. There are excuses. Look like one person want to fight more than another person, and you know people had their agenda of who they really wanted to fight. And it's, you know, why are we still talking about it? Like, the fight not going to happen, so I'll talk about it when it's actually going to happen. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away.
What?
Yes.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, it seems like Mike is basically giving up on it, so to speak, reference to the whole talk. So, I mean, to me, it is what it is. I mean, people have their, you know, basic opinions on, you know, who's, you know, who wants to fight, who doesn't want to fight. Me personally feel that there's only, you know, one person that really doesn't want to fight right now, and that is Shelly Finkel. I think he's the one that's kind of like blocking everything from going on. You have Deontay Wilder that wants to fight. You have Eddie Hearn that wants to make the fight. You have Anthony Joshua that's saying, yo, let's get this fight going. But, you know, it's just that, you know, once the contracts are sent over, even though Deontay Wilder verbally agreed to one of them, then the fights are not signed. And it's like, you know, what's going on? So I think what's happening here is there's too many people in the ear of Deontay Wilder. He said verbally that he wanted to be a fighting champion. That's what he wanted to basically do when he won the WBC belt. And, you know, for that first year or so, he was, you know, fighting a few times during the year. But, you know, now it just seems like, you know, with there's only one fight that's left in the heavyweight division right now, and he wants to, you know, basically prove himself, other people that are within his circle don't want him to do it. And that's kind of like blocking everything from basically happening. And I was telling somebody else who referenced this that it seems like this whole back and forth thing is looking similar to the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao ordeal, where, you know, Mayweather, you know, was trying to get the fight to happen, and Pacquiao wanted to fight. Pacquiao wanted to prove himself, but Bob Arum didn't want to give the go-ahead until much later in both of their careers. So it seems like right now, that's what it seems is going on here at this current juncture. So I think right now it just seems like we're not going to see this fight between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder anytime soon, if ever. And like I said, that's going to be a big blow to the sport of boxing. You know, with that, I'm pretty much going to put it into this episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. You can catch the next one on Sunday night, 7:30, next week, July 8th. We're going to, you know, pick things back up. Like I said, I've been on hiatus for the past couple of weeks, so it's kind of been, you know, a whole blur on what's been happening over the past couple of weeks. But after this week, we'll, you know, basically get our bearings back and start getting back to, you know, full-time boxing talk. So be on the lookout for that. And catch the sister shows here on the Go Long Media Channel, which include Core Truth on Sports, Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., and the football talk show, Take This L, that's on Wednesdays around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And like I say at the end of every show, point of boxing is a hit, not get hit, not to send and trade. On that note, I'm out. Have a good evening, everyone.
Later.